Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we have a great show planned for you today. Today is Tuesday, right, guys?
It is.
Sure feels like a Monday, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Joe. Mm-hmm. Well, what a great long weekend it was, but here we are ready to help you ring in your week. For this show, we're going to dole out some advice to people who are looking to cut costs within their businesses. So give us a call with any questions you may have about cost-cutting strategies. Call us at 215-953-4979 to ask us a cost-cutting question on the air. And if we take your call, we'll send you a $25 Visa gift card. So give us a ring again at 215-953-4979 to try to stump the hosts. Meanwhile, let me introduce our co-hosts. First, we have Joe Haley, our managing editor. Joe, how many hot dogs did you eat this weekend?
No hot dogs, hamburgers.
How many?
Four.
Four?
Not in one sitting.
Wow.
Not in one sitting.
It's a big hamburger weekend for you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Next, we have Michelle Bell, editor of Supplier Global Resource, who's wondering how she can swing a deal to spend every day at the beach. Michelle, how was the beach this weekend?
The beach was fabulous, although my liver is fluttering. I hate to tell everybody, but
help
it is.
Me.
It is saying, help me.
Okay.
Throwing up the white
flag.
Been
saying that for a while.
We're going to move
just
on.
That.
Of course, we have Kathy Houston, the editor
of
Advantages. Kathy, the big question we have for you is, did the backyard pool open this weekend, and is the beer tap flowing yet?
The beer tap's flowing. One of the kegs is gone already because we had company.
Long weekend, huh?
Yeah, and my husband Steve is listening today, so everybody say hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the radio show. Of course, we also have our publisher, Rich Fairfield, here to help run the ship. Rich, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good. And manning the phones and the switchboard, we have our famed tech team, Samantha Bath and Steve Hawk. Guys, give a little wave to the camera. Oh, and a little applause. Michelle, you didn't get any applause.
Rightly so.
Okay. Remember, we're getting ready to take your calls looking for cost-cutting advice. Start dialing at 215-953-4979, and if we put you on the air, you'll get a $25 Visa gift card. But first, Joe, tell us what's on tap for today's show.
As usual, Andy, we have a full schedule here, and I'm going to again repeat, if you need some cost-cutting advice, give us a call at 215-953-4979 or send an email to radio@asicentral.com, and we'll weigh in with some advice. Corporate campaigns are hitting at a brand advertising revival, and Kathy has the scoop on what that means to you. Does pharma marketing work? Well, according to a recent study, it does. Promotions actually influence med students, and we have the insight. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Bad client behavior is on the rise, and Michelle has all the dirt.
She would have the stuff on naughty.
That's right. Why are Tiger Woods, Oprah, and Bill Gates uncomfortable? Well, Kathy knows, and she's going to deconstruct the myths about what it takes to be the best. Michelle will answer that age-old question, is recession sex better than makeup sex? She's speechless.
Unfortunately, at this point, she's not answering that question.
One of our antisocial networking divas, that would be Kathy, has a look at some new Twitter tools.
I always get these articles for some reason.
We're trying to draw you in because we know that you're a secret user.
Technological marvel.
She's a
I thought it was
user.
Technologically impaired.
Not so yummy. The Nationals baseball team shoots sausage wrapped in T-shirts to fans and with less than favorable results.
That's funny.
It is. Michelle has a look at the 15 personal skills you need on the job, and if we have time, I have a rant. But first, the industry news.
Oh, Andy. Joe, we'll make time. Thank you. Counselor Top 40 supplier Broder Brothers officially completed its financial restructuring last week. Following the restructuring, a spokesperson confirmed to Counselor that the company would not be filing for bankruptcy and its management structure would remain in place. However, Broder's board of directors will have new faces shortly. Bain Capital, which had been the company's controlling stockholder, will now only own 5% of the firm and one seat on its board of directors. Check out Promogram for a full report. In merger news, two Canadian distributors have announced a deal. Stincor Specialties and Van Smith Enterprises merged their companies and will now operate under the name Stincor Van Smith Marketing. The combined operation will be based in Toronto and will have 20 sales reps accounting for about $9 million Canadian dollars in revenues. The Consumer Product Safety Commission denied a petition last week that was seeking a one-year enforcement delay of tracking and labeling rules within the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act. As of August 14th, all children's items will need to be labeled with manufacturing information, including location and date of production. Plus, in Promogram later today, we'll have a hot new episode of The Joe Show. Joe, what are you showing today as you sizzle yourself?
Ah, Andy, I think we're going to look at some products that would make
so disturbing.
Good sports stadiums giveaways.
Sports stadium giveaways.
Yeah.
Not shooting sausages, though.
We're not going to be shooting any sausages in the studio today.
Either really or euphemistically, thank God.
We'll, We'll get to the sausage story later.
So funny, that Michelle.
We are now getting ready to take your calls. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979 and ask us your question about the best way to cut costs right now. If we put you on the air, we'll send you a Visa gift card. We have a few callers on the line. On line two, we have Ann. Ann, how are you today?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you guys?
Good. What's your question for us?
Well, I am down here in Jacksonville, Florida, and we have good weather, but we have a falling real estate market. So I'm thinking about trying to renegotiate my office lease, and I was wondering if you guys have any kind of negotiation strategies that you would suggest.
Well, you know, we've talked to a lot of companies that are doing just that, so I think it's smart to look into it. I think the first key is to get with your landlord and sort of see what the...
Can I add something here?
Yeah, go ahead.
The best thing is to actually make it look like you're going to move. You have to look at other space.
Right.
Okay.
And they have to somehow, all those people together chat with each other, so they'll hear that you're looking for other space, and that will help your negotiating.
The best trick of negotiation is to
make actually it really appear that you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And take that to your landlord and say, you know, you want to try to look at that cutting it by...
That you've already got an offer that's better than this, but you'd rather not move because it's going to cost you this, but you're prepared to move, and you will.
Yeah, although maybe be prepared to actually move.
Oh, be prepared to move. But, okay. But most likely, if you're prepared to move and you appear to be prepared to move, you'll get a cut.
Okay, great.
Well, Ann, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
On line one, we have Ernest. Ernest, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. What's your question today?
I'm looking to try to save money on every expense my company has.
Every expense?
Every possible expense.
Who isn't? Right? What,
do you have any advice for how I can try to lower my phone, shipping, internet, electric, all those types of bills?
I do, actually.
Go ahead.
I would say for phone, look into Skype. Mm. Because it's an internet-based phone service, and it's, I think it's free.
It is free, yeah.
That would be one thing. Another thing was that a supplier I talked to recently had an energy efficiency consultant come in, and while that costs some money, the money that he saved by implementing the advice that the consultant had more than made up for the cost. I think he ended up saving 20% per month on his utility bills.
Also, look at the ASI affiliates. You know, you can save on shipping costs by using UPS. So look and see what services we have to offer.
And credit card fees as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
Great. Well, you're hopefully
welcome.
That helps you, Ernest. Hang on the line, and Samantha will get your information.
Nice.
On line three, we have Kelly. Kelly, what's your cost-saving question for us today?
Yes, hi. Actually, I'm looking to cut down on sales expenses for my reps, and I was wondering, hopefully, you can give me some strategies that could lower the cost of sales at my company.
We're all looking at Rich.
Rich is all you.
See, I'm against cutting sales costs in terms of paying salespeople less in a recession. I think, if anything, you should reset their compensation, give them bigger incentives. I think if you cut, it's a false economy.
Well, maybe not as far as salary or compensation goes, but are there some other strategies as far as business travel and things that you could cut
Certainly.
Down?
I'm a big believer in T&E as well. So I think that's the last expense you should cut. I mean, unless you have a weak rep that you were going to cut the rep because they're not delivering.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that if you're cutting your sales expenses, you should cut every other cost before you cut them, unless you believe that they're totally wasting your money, and then you have another issue.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that weak rep type of strategy, though. I would look at your sales force as critically as possible and identify if there's anybody who's lagging or you know, you could look at as cutting, because that's probably the best place to go. You know, you could look at some travel, like Kathy said, sort of bundling strategies, try to have people go on, you know, more than one sales call a day or whatever it is. But for the most part, I would look at the weakest.
Yeah, I mean, not only the weakest in terms of dollars of sales, but I guess the weakest in terms of profitability sold.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that if you have a rep that basically seems to always sell things at the deepest discount there is,
right,
and you make like a 5% on them or something, then that you might want to look at that.
Rich, does it make sense to look at the compensation plan, maybe going from a 50-50 split to a base plus commission, or from a base plus commission to a 50-50 split?
I guess my opinion is most salespeople always think their manager is trying to hurt them in some way. You know, they don't trust when you change the compensation system, because most likely they believe, which normally is true, that you're trying to cut it. So unless you're really trying to raise it for them and reset it so that, say, it's a growth plan, and because this year is a tough year, that there's not as much opportunity for growth, you're probably already cutting their compensation a lot. So, I mean, unless you're going to reset it so that they can have an easier chance to make money. Because at some point, if they're not, if they have no chance, if even if they grow by 20%, they're still not going to make from where they're here, they might lose all motivation, and the sales plan is probably not helping them at all. It has to be attainable in some way.
But you might even like save on, like I was saying, business travel by having whoever sets the travel plans go to Expedia or hotels.com to get better rates.
Yeah, and stay in cheaper hotels. Right. But if you're taking out a client, you may still need to do that.
Right, right.
You know, to get the business.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly, hopefully that gives you some ideas and some thoughts on ways you can cut. Hang on the line, and Samantha will get your information.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, guys, we have a surprise caller. Who do you think it is?
Melinda.
Oh, Melinda, yeah. You're right.
Melinda
on line
from
one,
Omaha.
We have
from
Omaha? Our fearless leader, Melinda. Melinda?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Have you had your fill of chicken liver?
I have. I'm chicken livered out.
And you and Warren are best buds now?
Me and who?
You and Warren Buffett?
The Oracle of Omaha.
No, I actually ran into him Friday night, no joke.
Did you really?
His favorite restaurant, Garage Steakhouse, where he orders a steak, a double side of onion rings, and cherry Coke every Friday night.
Does he get the 99 cent extra chicken livers?
You know what, that was at a different restaurant.
That was
that's
a totally different
work.
Thing, Andy.
That was at Spaghetti Works.
Spaghetti Works.
Wait, are you trying to tell us that Warren Buffett does not hang out at Spaghetti Works?
You know what? He probably does. He's a very modest guy, and he's got, you know, there's a lot of houses in Omaha that are bigger than his. He doesn't drive a fancy car. He's a, you know, he's a just a simple Nebraska guy.
He goes down into his cellar, and it's like a huge racetrack down
there. You can't see it from
the yeah, we can't see it.
His lair.
I was thinking about you because I was at my 93-year-old grandmother lives here, and she lives in one of those, like, independent living things that's attached to, like, a nursing home.
Yeah.
And there are promotional products everywhere.
Really?
Umbrellas.
What kind?
Magnets. Everything.
But magnifying
stickers,
glasses.
Umbrellas. No magnifying glasses.
And no pill so kind of things?
There have to be pill. There have to be, like, pill sorters.
Yeah, pill sorters and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday kind of pill things.
This is where you guys have it wrong in your magazines. They have no senior product. It's all, like,
you know, they're your magazines, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
She's on vacation today.
The stereotypical senior products. It's, you know, umbrellas, hats, visors, everything, and they're everywhere.
I'd say visor is actually a typical senior product.
Well, I don't know. I've seen Joe wear them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
So funny. I wear one every weekend on the sidelines of soccer.
Very good, Joe.
So you're telling us that the senior living centers are a good place for...
They're young at heart.
For people to go.
And I hear that they're riff with tomfoolery.
Rife.
I don't know about that, but they're thriving. And, you know, I, for one, plan to live past 100, so...
That's past 100?
We're happy to hear that.
You're going to have to pass some of that past 100 feelings onto us, because I don't think we have that here.
I don't think there's anyone here that's living over 90 in this room.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot for the good.
90 would be a long shot.
Tim Andrews, our CEO, he's about to live to 100 too, so he and I can hang out while you
and
guys
can
are
have
all...
a big party on the radio show when that happens.
Sounds good. One last fun fact about Omaha: almost every restaurant you go to, you get complimentary fruit pie with your dinner.
Complimentary fruit pie?
I love
They don't have that on the East Coast.
No,
they don't.
Do you have the option to add, like, ice cream?
Yeah, you can get a la mode. That might be extra.
Fruit pie a la mode.
It's all home, like, fresh baked, just like Kathy makes.
So what? We all get followed.
Wow. You stopped the crowd with that one.
Anyway,
what
I'll let
you
carry on
it?
With the show. I don't know. I never reject fruit pie, so I can't tell you.
She likes her pie.
That's what'll keep you living till 100. Never reject fruit pie. Well, Melinda, thanks for calling in and giving us the Omaha update.
See you tomorrow.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Well, we've talked a lot in our magazines and on this show about how different types of ad campaigns can be successful for different goals. One type of marketing strategy, though, seems to have taken a back seat lately, and that's brand advertising. But, Kathy, I hear that brand building may be making a bit of a comeback. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. The likes of FedEx, General Electric, and IBM have recently launched corporate branding campaigns. And tech power SAP made a splash just last week with a global push from Ogilvy, an ad agency, themed Time for a Clear New World. There was also a recent survey by the Association of National Advertisers that suggests marketers are getting ready to once again open their wallets. So that's good news for promotional products people.
It sure is.
Definitely. Two-thirds of the 129 marketers surveyed last month said the recession shifted focus of their companies towards short-term results, but nearly three-quarters of them said they are poised to start spending on branding campaigns again. So that's good news for the industry.
That is good news. Mm-hmm. I think that any brand building that companies are doing will certainly help the promotional products world.
And another thing. Another thing about that corporate branding is they're trying to do marketing that is surrounded by recession-type messages, like made mm-hmm. in America, you know, keeping Americans' jobs, things like that.
And saving,
that's right.
It's a big message.
Saving
lately.
You money, definitely.
Nice.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
I wonder how many times these economic times is used in media and stuff. It seems like
those words.
Those words.
Yeah. You should Google it.
We'll do that.
We'll report right on it next week.
Excellent.
Kathy has an assignment. On assignment.
Kathy has homework. All right. Well, there's been a lot of scrutiny lately about the way pharmaceutical firms and medical equipment companies market themselves, and certainly this has impacted sales of promotional products. Now, Joe, there's a new study that actually proves the power of promotional products in the medical industry. Can you tell us some more?
Absolutely. There was two groups, a group of med students down at the University of Miami and at the University of Pennsylvania. And the ones in Miami were given flyers and other promotional products with this drug's name on it. And then they came back later and they talked to them about these drugs, and the ones in Miami who the University of Pennsylvania received nothing. And when they talked to these students later about those drugs, the ones in Miami, subtle exposure to small pharmaceuticals, promotional items, influence implicit attitudes towards marketing products among medical students. So they had a very favorable view of that pharmaceutical, that drug, because of the promotional products. So it does work, and it does work, and it's a shame.
And then what about the University of Pennsylvania kids that didn't get anything?
They did not have as favorable thoughts about the drug. So they had a controlled group and a non-controlled group, mm-hmm. and, you know, so, you know. We've been talking about the power of promotional products. This study was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, so it shows that it works.
That sounds like a great publication. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
What's your problem with the Archives of
Internal
Medicine?
I used to work for the
Medicine?
Annals of Internal Medicine.
But
big competitor to the Archives of Internal Medicine. I think it's an important message, though, because it's been hard for distributors, certainly, to go to the pharmaceutical market these days with selling promotional products.
But I think this article going to be up on our website, because distributors could take that to their pharma clients.
Sure. Yeah. We'll post it to ASI Central. But they receive pens, notepads, and mugs. We're not talking about anything fancy either. There's no fancy trips, not a $25 pen. It's pretty standard everyday promotional products.
Yeah. I just think it's good evidence, even just not even necessarily in that market, but in all
any
markets,
market.
That it impacts people's decision-making and their thought processes about the brands that are on those items. So it is a valuable type of study. So Michelle.
Yes, Andy.
Are you awake?
No, I'm here.
Tuesday.
It takes Tuesday,
remember?
It takes a while for me to bounce back after an Avalon long weekend. That'll do it. Thanks, Steve.
We're hearing those. All right. Well, you're a big
the old
proponent.
Rock band doesn't get moving too quickly, does it? Aging rock star.
Aging rock star.
Okay, let's move it on.
You're a big proponent of the philosophy of the client is practically never right.
I wouldn't say that. Okay. I'm not one to say that the client is always right.
Well, it seems like we have some evidence that bad client behavior is on the rise. What can you tell us?
I think that in a bad economy, people get nervous, and people's behavior. You know, I was just had this conversation with the beloved BFF, Michael Bernstein, who's the chairman of Polyconcept North America. And he said the same thing. He said, you know, people act irrationally in a bad economy. And an article that I read recently that I put up on the website as well said that clients that you've been dealing with for some time, there's evidence to say that a lot of them are now acting in erratic ways and making unusual demands on their salespeople and on their distributors. Also, they're paying, you know, in a really slow fashion.
Yeah.
Not paying invoices until the accounting department escalates the situation, and then they challenge the invoices. Things that they typically would not do, you know, when the economy is better. Demanding that you negotiate unreasonably low prices from your vendors, or saying that they'll, you know, take their business and go elsewhere. Kind of like, you know, I'll take my toys and leave the sandbox unless you let me have my way, basically. Also, mixed messages coming from companies. The CEOs overriding the marketing director on creative execution and sending confusing messages to their clients. So I just think that there's a lot of kind of schizophrenic, for lack of a better word, behavior going on among businesses because they're just scared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think as things stabilize, which my sense is that it's starting to,
right.
that they'll kind of calm down.
One of the things that you touched on there that I've definitely heard about in this market is clients that are challenging invoices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they agree to a price early on and then challenge, you know, either itemized aspects of it or just trying to come up with ways lower the end cost.
Don't they sign the purchase order? So don't they know all the costs and they have to sign that?
Some of those are often estimated, though.
Yeah.
Like shipping and other costs that are estimated at the front end. And then when it comes to the back end, they're obviously more specific and mm-hmm. clients are taking that opportunity to question. So it's tough to deal with.
The main thing to remember is that businesses treated with respect give way more than they take. I mean, they're the business that'll go over and above for you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but if you start nickeling, diming them and treating them badly, then, you know, then there's going to be problems and repercussions.
That's just human nature.
Sure.
Too. Yep.
Yeah, agreed. Well, guys, what do you think it takes to be the best? Michelle, you know, right?
A lot of liquor.
Okay. Kathy, you have some clues, don't you? And I understand
I
that
do.
Somehow Tiger Woods, Oprah Winfrey, and Bill Gates are all involved.
Yeah, and why do you think they're uncomfortable, given that they live in the lap of luxury?
I don't know.
Because they're the best at what they do, and the best are never comfortable with where they are, Andy.
I feel that way.
Yes, Michelle, you're never
She's never comfortable. Anyway, here's some myths and realities about people that are the best at what they do. Here's a myth. The best know a secret formula that others simply don't. The reality,
and they're not willing to share that secret formula, probably.
The reality is there's no secret recipe. The art is in putting the recipe's ingredients together. The best take action every day and do the common things with uncommon focus, dedication, and a commitment to excellence. Another thing that people believe are the best are born that way, and they are kind of like the chosen ones. But the reality is that the best become the best through their own actions. Many people have potential, like even you, Andy, but only a tiny few ever bring
just
it to fruition. Another thing is there's a huge gap between the best and the rest, and actually the gap is very small. There's not a huge gap between
you and Bill Gates.
Rich.
That's right. Only about 10 feet. At
yeah, exactly. The best don't have any fear. Yes, the best do feel fear.
Of course
yes.
They do.
They simply learn to overcome it.
They're probably driven by it.
That's right. Too many people allow their fear of failure to define them in their actions. The best are not afraid to fail. They look at that as a learning experience.
See that, Joe? Don't be afraid to fail.
I'm
paralyzed.
And another thing that you might find interesting is that the best don't focus on winning. They don't focus on any outcome at all. They focus on the process that gets them there.
I've heard that before, actually.
Yeah,
it's all about the process.
So
a lot of professional
then.
Athletes say that.
Yeah, that's right. So there you go. Myths and realities about being the best.
Cool.
Put it to good use.
We'll try our best, so to speak.
I think using the word try is not part of the best.
That's right.
We will do our best.
Again, we'll try our best. we like to offer some ideas on this show of hot markets for distributors to target and get business from. This week, we look at a, well, unique market. Huh, Michelle?
We are talking.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Steve Hawk on the sound.
The question is recession sex even better than makeup sex? In this economy, the first quarter sales of personal lubricants and sexual devices soared 32% to $41.2 million.
Wow.
And the reason for this, so they say, not me, but
so they say,
is when the economy goes down, sex goes up.
And so do
people stay, well, there's a reason behind
Absolutely.
It. People stay home more often. Joe is chomping at the bit, so to speak. I can
it's
tell
like
to say
free
something.
It's like free
entertainment. I'm sitting here listening.
You're leaning
well,
in.
Because,
low
yeah.
cost, because the lubricants cost something.
True. Good point.
Well, people, you know, they're staying home more often. They're looking to make, you know, connections with other people just because, you know, these economic times can be upsetting. But it's kind of funny that there's that one lubricant package called it's KY Intense, and I've seen the commercials for it. It's
I've
always
seen
a couple.
That
Isn't
too,
it funny?
Yeah.
The commercials are great. But
I haven't seen these commercials.
Yeah, the kids.
Where
go,
do they run these?
It's
the kids
male
go out.
Female
during the Housewives
lubricant.
Of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Right.
It's male female lubricant, and when you put them together, apparently it's supposed
it's
to
intense.
Be
intense.
You know, so yes,
so
it's
I
supposed
hear.
To be intense. But they are attributing the success of that through packaging and marketing. They have really pushed that through commercials and print mm-hmm. advertising.
The Philadelphia Inquirer had full-page ads for that.
That's right.
Wow.
And
everybody's
really
canoodling during the recession.
Oh, there's that word.
Canoodling.
So in an economy where, you know, people are spending less, clearly not on some products. And I think a large part of it is the way that they've marketed it. They really have, you know, made a major push for it.
All right. So there's an idea for everybody as far as markets that they can hit up in the coming weeks.
Well, I think just think about what people are doing in a down economy. Yep. They're you know, cocooning more. They're staying home more. Think
drinking
about things.
More.
Oh, yeah. There you
they
go.
They are drinking more.
You know what that leads to?
Having more sex?
Yeah.
Movie business is doing better than many other businesses.
Yep.
Because it's cheaper.
They're looking for
other forms of
entertainment. Inexpensive ways to have fun, right?
Inexpensive ways
to have video fun. Video games?
Are video games doing well?
I think that people are playing more video games when they're unemployed.
That's true.
Good point. Well, Twitter sure is all the rage, isn't it?
Gal. Yes.
Yes.
Just not for you?
Yes.
Yes.
It's awesome.
I tweeted this weekend.
You
oh,
did?
Lord.
I
did.
What
we
did
don't
you
need
say?
To know.
I talked about the virtual trade show, and we're looking forward to the next one, August 19th.
Oh, it already has a date. Okay. Mm-hmm. August 19th, virtual trade show. Well, Kathy, I understand there are some new Twitter tools.
There are.
What can you tell us?
And
you might not understand it, but what can you tell us?
I'm going to laugh talking about them, but Rich, here are some cool tools for your digital delight.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yes.
You're welcome. Oh, boy.
This is just for you. Okay, Twitter search upgrade. Many Twitter devotees argue that Twitter's search function can be faster and more relevant. And they are uncovering some rumored development, such as a reputation ranking system for tweets. Other search platforms, such as TweeFind, are also developing this useful Twitter tool, organizing search by user rank. So that's pretty cool. The users get to rank their tweets. This one is called Stweet.
Stweet?
Yes. Stop. Isn't that sweet? God. Many mobile apps already use GPS technology to broadcast a user's location, but this fun mashup combines the geolocative voyeurism of Google Street View with Twitter to show streets where tweets are posted, like your tweets, you know, would come from your street. Twit Scoop.
Sweet.
Twit Scoop. This is another application.
Are you calling me a twit?
That's crazy.
Here's the scoop, Twit. Twit Scoop. Another real-time visualization tool. This platform allows users to explore the most current hot trends and buzz on Twitter by identifying breaking news, monitoring keywords, and creating graphs to display activity for any given word on the site.
What type of tool is
that? That's pretty cool, actually.
Twit Scoop. I can't say it. Visualization.
I feel like you'd be drinking.
There you go. So, Stweet, Twit Scoop, and Twitter Search Upgrade.
I'm really in hell right now.
That's amazing because they only have like 40 people that work at Twitter. I read that in the Wall Street Journal today.
Well,
they're looking to hire some more people.
Stweet's a little crazy.
Stweet.
Oh, my God.
Well, what if someone follows you and they're a stalker?
Well, they have like,
no, I agree. The Google Street View cameras, they freak me out. Yeah. They really do. Because you could see,
you can see my neighbors on their porch.
You see like people hanging out.
No, you can't.
It just
absolutely,
bugs me.
You can see our pool.
You can see my soccer ball air valves on my car. I mean that's how clear the picture is.
Really?
See? Absolutely. It's parked in front of my house, and my neighbor's sitting out on a rocking chair on her porch.
Well, now you have Stweet. There you go.
I still think it's crazy.
Okay. Let's move on to our promo gone wrong segment of the show. We called out Major League Baseball's Washington Nationals a few weeks ago for wearing uniforms with misspelled team names. Well, the team caught our eye last week with what can generously be called a failed promotion. Joe, what can you tell us?
Yeah, you know, this team is kind of like the team that the Harlem Globetrotters play all the time.
Yeah, right.
The Washington Generals. Yeah, they just can't do anything right. So, Philadelphia Phillies have this. They have the fanatic comes out and during the fifth inning, I think it is, and he shoots hot dogs out into the stands with like a hot dog gun. It's this big air gun. He can shoot them. I swear to God, shoot in the second
That's
level.
Awful.
It's great. So, the Washington Nationals have this gun too, but they haven't used it in a while, and I don't think it's calibrated right because the hot dogs are actually exploding as they come out of the gun.
There is meat falling on fans.
I thought it was sausage.
A sausage. I'm sorry. There's
sausage.
Sausage.
Meat
that's just not positive.
No, it's not a good energy to have.
So it's meat and bread is falling all over the field, all over fans.
Does it get toasted?
I don't think
because of the
fans do.
I don't think it's. But so now they're wrapping them in T-shirts, and they're shooting the sausage sandwich in a T-shirt, and it's still exploding inside the T-shirt.
So then you have a greasy T-shirt.
So people are opening up. They got a greasy T-shirt that's got shredded meat, a little bit stuck to the casing.
That's
and
just silly.
Like, are they mentally deficient over
really?
There?
What are they
doing? Just can't get their act together. Now,
and they play in our nation's capital.
I think it's a great promotion because, you know, they could do it in other ballparks. And if you're not going to do, you know, sausages or hot dogs, at least do the T-shirts. So distributors, you know, talk to your local clubs, whether professional teams, whether they're, you know, minor league teams and stuff.
Can I just ask, what sort of velocity are these things being shot out? Like, are you? Is there possible?
Like a baseball, like over 100 miles an hour?
They loft them into the air. Yeah. They're not shooting it at someone.
I think that,
and they have a big drag, right? So they must slow down quickly.
Yeah, it does. It slows
and sometimes
down.
Even the cheerleaders go around and just toss them to the fans.
We may want to advise distributors to help their clients maybe test
and make
their
good
promotions
choices.
Right. Before
that's a
firing
point.
Meat at their fans.
You could get these guns in the industry as well.
Yeah. Well, before we go, it is time for everybody's favorite or, depending on how you feel, maybe most dreaded segment of the show. It's Joe's Rant. Joe, I shudder to ask, but what are you yelling about today?
All right, so every Memorial Day, me and the fam, we go to the movies since all our holiday activities happen on Saturday and Sunday. Monday has been a bum-around kind of day, therefore we end up at the cinema. Yesterday was no different. We saw the new Night at the Museum pick, and it wasn't bad. If you want to say it wasn't bad at all, we love this theater.
Who calls it the cinema?
I just did.
Somebody who says tomfoolery.
Listen, you. All right. So I love this theater because it's got stadium seating, and, you know, being of shorter stature, I know you can't tell with the camera here. Usually when we sit down, Manute Bol and Shaq come and sit in front of me and my wife, so we can't see. So we like this. Anyway, the previews start, and one of the many latecomers decides to naturally take a seat in front of me. Okay, just sit down, lady. After opting for the seat, she had to adjust herself and dig through her purse to turn off her cell phone. Okay, just sit down. Not done yet. Now she's got to don a hoodie and make sure it's lied flat and everything like that. Yeah, oh my God. For the love of Pete, would you just sit down? All the while she's going about her business, the coming attractions are on, and she feels like she's in the comfort of her home. Now, don't scoff at me because it was only the coming attractions. Some of us like the coming attractions and would actually like to see them. So when you go to the cinema, again,
the cinema.
Do everyone a favor and sit the heck down. As George Costanza says, we're trying to have a society here.
So did you kick her chair?
I wanted to. God.
Yeah, you complain about these people, but you need to, you know, show
some
force.
Not encouraging bad actions to be taken. I was just curious.
I am, actually.
Full disclosure.
You are.
I'll shush anyone in the movie.
Did you cut her?
Okay, that's going a little far.
I accidentally dropped my big gulp on her. Ooh, sorry.
See, diet soda or regular soda, because the regular soda is really sticky.
It's a little more sticky.
Oh, yeah.
Good point.
I never knew that.
So maybe you should get the regular soda so you could use it as a weapon.
No, you just drink the water. You know?
No, well, that's
the $15 water.
Stain.
Well, at the cinema.
At the cinema. Joe's going to the cinema. Well, unfortunately, we are all out of time for today. Thanks to all of our listeners. We love spending part of our Tuesday mornings with you. Be sure to tune in again next week when we'll debate who's hot and who's not in the industry right now. Ooh. Have a great week.
Kathy and I are on that list.